Shmuel Beis Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Chak Beis. Chak Beis. Okay? So, Vayan Avishai Ben Sruya. So, we were introduced last week to someone by the name of Shimi Ben Gera. Shimi Ben Gera, as we mentioned, was a person who threw rocks and dirt at David, and he showed tremendous anger, rebellion. He was very rebellious against him, and obviously a person, as we know, who is mourned by Malchus, rebelled against the king, deserved to be punished with death. And in fact, this is what Avishai said. Vayan Avishai ben Tsruya vayomer hatacha zos lo yumashimi. Is it not certainly that this person, for the mistake that he made, the way that he acted toward you, certainly Shimi deserves to die. Kikil elas Mashiach Hashem. For he has cursed the anointed one of Hashem. A person who would do such a thing certainly deserves to die. And even when it comes to a person, if someone, let's say for a parent or a teacher, they're allowed to be mochel on their kavod. If they choose, okay, they can forgive and forget. That's not a problem. In fact, perhaps it's a good thing. But when it comes to a melech, a king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. Because once he allows people to do whatever they want, and what ends up happening is it's a free-for-all. And therefore, what Avishai ben Tsruya is saying is that you, as a king, have no choice but to respond by sentencing this person to death for having done what he did. So perhaps you can say, well, come on, at least the guy, he asked for forgiveness. That's what we saw last week. He begged for forgiveness for the mistake that he had done. So if you look in the Radak on the bottom of the page of Chaf Beis, Atachazos, he says, Im Bavor Hachna Zosh Osa Shimi, even though he did lower himself, humiliate himself, and he asked for forgiveness, the Chaprolo Shul Yomus, he asked for forgiveness that he shouldn't die, V'hu Chedchad Gadol Shekilas Mashiach Hashem. You cannot possibly just simply accept this person's apology. After all, what he did was so grave and so serious, and actually it brings down in the English on 333, it just says, which is probably insincere. Who says that what he's telling is the truth? Perhaps he's just doing it because he knows that he has no choice. He was rebellious because when the chips were down for David, and all of a sudden when things are looking great, all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry. Are you really sorry? Or are you only saying it because of who I am? And therefore, this person deserves to die. And the question is, how is David going to react? Is David going to say, you know what, maybe you're right, maybe a person does deserve to die, and in fact, I'm going to sentence him to death. That's not how David responds, as we see now in the next pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayomer David, and so David continues and says, he says, Mali v'lochem b'nei Tsruya. What is this to me and to you, b'nei Tsruya, or children of Tsruya? He's referring to, of course, specifically to Avishai, who's the one who addressed the point. Kisiu lehayomo satan. Today, what you're acting to me upon is like the satan. You're acting like the Yetzer Hara that's trying to get me to do something which I shouldn't do. It doesn't seem like he's really telling him something so bad that he should say that you're acting like Satan or Satan, which the Mesudas Sion translates as a Mekatering, or a person who is trying to get you to do...
Prosecutor.
A prosecutor, right. So, Hayom Yumas Ish B'Yisrael, today should be the day, a day of celebration, of joy, that I'm finally the king. Today should be the day that I should sentence people to death. Ki halo yadati, do not know. Ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. I'm the king over the Jewish people. So today doesn't seem to be an appropriate time for me to do such a thing. Look on the bottom on page 334, in the bottom left, it says, according to the Barbanel, David HaMelech was saying, quote, it is only today that I've regained my throne. I cannot afford to pass strict judgment against my antagonists before fully reinstating my reign with a solid base. So I just got here. You know, I still have all my bags and my U-Haul truck parked outside. All of a sudden, you want me to start going crazy doing all these things? Let me at least get reacquainted to my position of power, and then maybe afterwards. And afterwards, I underlined the next paragraph. The sons of Suri argued that a king has no right to forgive a slight to his honor. Which is what we mentioned about, which we mentioned before. David responded that the reason for that is that a king's honor is the king is the honor of the nation, and therefore he has no right to let himself and the entire nation be impugned. However, according to the nation had been following Avshalom, David had but 600 followers. So therefore, according to this, David may have been saying, at the time I wasn't a melech. I wasn't treated as a king by Shimi. He treated me improperly, but I was not viewed upon as a king because I was running, and Avshalom was the one who was in positions of power. Get a point?
So it seems like he did not kill him from the goodness of his heart or a moral reason, but rather a political reason that he wasn't ready to kill somebody. So it doesn't seem to me that almost many days it looks like
well, I guess. You're right. There are numerous. It could also be for the right reasons too, but it could be all these numerous reasons to lean toward this decision. Yeah, I guess it could be. But these are also the different explanations that make it a little more colorful, so we can gravitate toward one which calls to us a little bit more. But you're right. We look in the Rashi over here in Pasuk Chav Gimel. Let's just see Pasuk Chav Dalet first to see this to kind of have a little bit of closure of what happens. Pasuk Chav Dalet Vayomer Hamelach El Shimi. So the king turns to Shimi and says, Lo Samus, you will not die. Yishavu Lo Hamelach, and in fact he swore to him. And clearly from the Pesukim we do not find whether or not David accepted his apology, whether he forgave him for that which he did. We don't know that. He just says, you're not going to be sentenced to death. But it's interesting, he doesn't say it's because of today, because he doesn't kill him at all. So even though the Abarbanel says, the original statement was, I can't kill him today, but we find in Pasuk Abdalid, he swears that I'm not going to harm you at all, which has nothing to do with, you know, I just got here, because otherwise, tomorrow, I'll kill you. But he doesn't do that. So clearly, his response to Shimi is not just about me and I'm position of power. Let's see Rashi, then perhaps we'll have some other thoughts. Hayom yumas ish bidmi, it's a statement as a question, as a rhetorical question that David mentioned, he asked. Ki hayom ani melech. Today I'm a king. Ad achshav hayisis sabar. Until now I thought, uzilzul bi adam gadol kazeh. Remember, Shimi was a very powerful person. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. There's no slouch. There's an adam gadol that was cursing me. Why was he doing what he was doing, throwing rocks and sand and dirt and cursing me? He only did it. El imkein nifzakal malchusei me'esa malkon. That it was clear from that moment, which is kind of what we saw in the English, is that I was no longer a melech. So you're right, there is a din that a melech, a king, is not allowed to forgive on his kavod, but I wasn't a king. And it wasn't just some crazy guy cursing me. It was, he was a agent of God, right? This is what it says, Malchus me'eis ha-makom. This was Hashem.
And he truly was not a king when he was cursed, because right. He went away.
Right, he wasn't acting like
he
a king.
He left his home with a week and he went away.
Right, absolutely. So that's David's rationale. Who omer lo kill as David. Aval achshav shehu mischaret. Now that he has charata, he has regret for that which he did. Yedati kimelech ani. Now I know I'm a king. So his coming to me now shows
he's accepting.
He's accepting me as a king, and Hashem is accepting me to be reinstated as a king. Because he looked at Shimi's reaction from the originally, the way he behaved was a manner not reflecting Shimi, but rather he was acting as an agent of Hashem, and therefore David accepted this position.
Respect to a man who did not deserve respect at that moment, at that time.
Right. That's right.
What's
that's
the
right.
first word there in
that Russian? Bidmia, which is it's a way of telling you that the way to read the sentence is a question. It's like it's a bewilderment.
I own you, Matish. That's what it's like. That's
bewilderment.
Right. Like should I do this today? I should do so. So as we mentioned before, different forms of rationale. I'll just touch upon two others. There's an interesting Yalkut that's brought down that David, as we know, did not kill Shimei. So what? It's a big deal. So let's say he would have killed this guy, Shimei. Who is he? And what does he really have any relatives that would have had any impact whatsoever in the future of the Jewish world? Absolutely. It's brought down, this is actually Gemara in Megillah, makes sense, that David l'harag Shimei. David didn't kill Shimei. Ki ra boruach kadsho. He was able to understand that there was something great about Shimei, that he would be able to somehow have a future generations that will end up doing something very, very special. Shasidim lotzis mimenu Mordechai v'Esther. That from Shimei will come forth Mordechai and Esther. Shatzil es Yisrael be'es v'zeres Haman. That when Haman sets this decree of mass genocide upon the Jewish people, that Mordechai and Esther saved the day. And if it would have been that he would have killed Shimei, there would have been no Mordechai, there would have been no Esther. Which means there would be no Klal Yisrael. Or hopefully maybe someone else would have come. But nonetheless, it's interesting that if you look at the way Mordechai is described in the Megillah, he's called Ish Yehudi, which sounds like he's a man who comes from Shevet Yehuda. That's what it sounds like. Yehudi. He comes from the tribe of Judah. But we know that that's not true. We know that he came from, he was Ish Yemini. He came from Binyamin. So he says, Kivan Shenoilad Barachmi David Shahayim Shevet Yehuda. That's the reason why he's called Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi Hayi B'Shush Habira, because David
was from Yehuda.
And therefore it was only because of what David did many, many generations back that caused this person to be alive and to be able to do what he did. So he's called Ish Yehudi to remember that which David did. So obviously the message that we can internalize is that the impact of what we do and what we say not only can affect the people around us, but we have no idea that many, many generations later of what we say and do, good or bad, how it can affect future generations. So that's an interesting piece of Gemara I want to share with you. And one other thought about the Satan business, right? That he's, okay, like a prosecutor. But another interpretation is brought down as follows. He says, and this is another motivation, which may not sound so good, but we can perhaps interpret it a little bit better. He says like this, this is in the Mishnah of Zahav. She'im ani lo kabel b'shah zu, v'shimi. If I do not accept the repentance and the begging of forgiveness from Shimei at this time, what will end up happening? Gam tefilasi she'ani mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The prayers that I, David, have been praying to Hashem, that Hashem should accept my tshuva for the mistakes that I made, kedei shemeni yilmdu kol Yisrael ein miskabelas. My tshuva will not be accepted either. Ki kol midosav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. Because the way God acts is a reaction to what He sees how we act toward others. And He says, kishani akabel Hashimi. That once I am able to say, you know what, people make mistakes, people harm me, but it's okay, it's no one's perfect, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gam Mochali, Hashem will say, oh, now I see that you are able to be forgiven as well. Because since you can notice that not everyone has to be perfect, and if someone makes the slightest mistake to you, oh, I'm never going to forgive you, I'm never going to forget what you did to me, right? I'm going to always remember the harm that you did, however so slight. And Hashem says, okay, you want to deal with that? That's how you are? No problem. That's your personality? That's exactly how I'm going to deal with you. And God forbid a person should be able to have that type of a level that God's going to look at you because no one's perfect. And therefore, David is teaching us, not just for himself, that sounds selfish, but it's teaching us, obviously, a very important lesson that we have to be forgiving and kind of overlooking people's flaws because no one's perfect. If someone harmed me, I have to try to find a way to forgive, because if I'm capable of forgiving, then Hashem will look at me and say, you know what? I'm going to treat you in the exact same way. And that's how David, that's David's point. He's saying in this pasuk, in the very top line, Hisiu li hayom ha-satan. By you telling me to be so exact, that is like the worst thing. Not for him, well, it'll be bad for him, he'll be killed, but it'll be bad for me too. It won't just be bad for me, because Hashem won't forgive me, David. But what message am I teaching Klai Yisrael? To be exact and never forgive? Then people aren't going to want to do tshuva. People aren't going to want to try to change. If a person doesn't feel that they can improve, they're just going to get worse and worse and worse. That's the greatness of tshuva. Is that no matter where we are, we always have the opportunity to grow and to change. But if there was no concept of tshuva, we would just give up. Everyone would just say, well, what's the point?
David is coming back from his punishment, from his big punishment because of the sin that he did before. That was his punishment. He was going to He knows it for sure.
Absolutely. Very good. Okay. So that's the relationship of Shimi. Now we continue in Pasuk Hey with a new person, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth ben Shaul. Mephibosheth, who was the son of Shaul, the Mesudasian points out, Aben Haben Yikraben.
He's the cripple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to see that in the Pesukim itself, absolutely. He's also, he's not a son of Shaul. Mesudasian said he's a grandchild. But they've been, the Gemara says in Kedushin, B'nei Banim Harim Kebanim, the grandchildren are like children, right? Especially when Mother's Day comes. You expect Mother's Day cards from your grandkids just as much from the kids. So Mephibosheth, right? So Mephibosheth ben Shaul. I had to kind of throw that in there. Mephibosheth ben Shaul. So Mephibosheth, who was a grandchild of Shaul, Yorad Likras HaMelech, he went down to greet the king. V'lo'asa ragla v'lo'asa safamo. He probably didn't smell very good. He didn't wash his feet. And he also did not trim his mustache. That's because of Lukibes, his garments he didn't wash. It wasn't just for a day or two, can you imagine? From the time that the king left until this very moment. And the Radak says that if it's true that Lorachatz, Afilu Raglov, he didn't even wash his feet, clearly Ein Tzarech Loimer Kol Gufo, he still didn't wash the rest of his body either, right? So some people would wash, in Chazal, they bring down washing yodav ponav aragav, your face, your hands, and your feet. So that is in a different category of washing the rest of the body, which were more lenient. So this guy didn't do anything. He didn't wash any part of his body. And he did this, obviously, as a sign of avelus, of mourning for the fact that David was running away, and he felt this pain. In fact, in the English, on page 335, it says that the Gemara Yevamos tells us that when it talks about, it doesn't say about washing his feet, it doesn't say the word machitza, it says lo'asa, he didn't make, he didn't do something with his feet, and it says that he did not cut his toenails, which is also a sign of mourning. Okay. No pedigrees or pedicures. Pedigree, pedicure. I'm not into either of them.
Yes. There's something here that because Tziva is the one who came to the king and
yeah, go ahead.
And he is the one who the king made rich by giving him the field.
Right.
So and Mephibosheth to me, Mephibosheth is something not nice that we did by putting him at his table. At his mercy, at David's mercy,
right,
and he puts Tziva to be servant to watch over him, not to be a partner to him, right. And if David is not in the palace, who's right. to say that Ziba is going to take care of him? Obviously, right. Ziba is turning his back to him.
That's true. I mean, Mephibosheth, as we're going to see in a moment, shows his gratitude that David took him in, which he certainly didn't have to. He could have killed him after all his shoals that
or
were too relative.
Or he could have just given him the field and given him slaves and telling him, you'll be on your own.
He was taking good
he
care.
He
was taking
a
care.
King anyway. But this is a man who could not have been king.
Correct. That's what we said. We couldn't
so
be king,
he,
right.
David was safe as far as this man was mm-hmm. concerned.
Right. He's
but
not
he
a threat.
Put someone to watch over him. Strong.
One of the other issues, which is we're gonna find in this paragraph, is that Ziba, when we already introduced to him before Ziba gave David all this food, and then David's like, hey, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said, oh, Mephibosheth, he's rebelling. He's a terrible person. He wants to stay near Shalayim to perhaps take over the throne.
That was not a nice thing.
It was lashon hara that Ziba
but
said.
But also, that was not a nice thing.
In what? At what he
that
appointed
he,
in?
That he gave him somebody, he put someone to watch over a weak man, somebody strong, yeah. who obviously took advantage of him. When he gives him the food, whose food is it?
Okay. I mean, we find this, unfortunately,
so that's
numerous times that people...
suspicious. That's right. Something that he should have been aware of.
I mean, he wasn't there. He was running for his life. What am I supposed to do? You know.
But he did this before he was running for his life.
True.
He was king.
True. But he did take good care of him, which he certainly did not have to do any of those things.
Yeah, but he should have watched over it. When he ran away, he left the weak behind.
Ah.
Yeah,
I guess he had some. Yeah. So let's see. We're going to certainly see Mephibosheth has no complaints. In fact, he's mourning and he loved David to that point, which obviously was completely against that which Ziba said, that he was trying to rebel. No form of rebelling at all. He mourned and hoped, longed for the time that David could come back. Pasuk Vav. Vayhi ki ba Yerushalayim likras ha-melech, and finally, it came to the time when he came to Yerushalayim to meet David. V'yomer lo ha-melech, lama lo halachta Mephibosheth. So the king said to him, why didn't you come with me? What was your problem? Why didn't you join me? As though David was saying,
yeah.
Correct. We're going to see this next pasuk, which, as we mentioned before, David is speaking to Mephibosheth directly, which shows the lack of sensitivity that David displayed at this moment,
right.
Or also he said this before, that he wasn't sensitive to that person. Vayomar Adoni HaMelech Avdi Rimani. First of all, you have to know, my king, that my servant, the one that you gave me, this Ziba, Rimani, he was a Ramai. He tricked me. He conned me. He wasn't a good guy. Ki Omar Abdacha Ech B'Shali HaChamor V'Erech HaBaleha. So what was going on? I can't saddle my own donkey, but he said that he was going to prepare a ride for me. V'Elech Es HaMelech Yipaseach Abdacha. And I was going to go and to greet you. He never prepared my donkey. It was gone. Ki piseach avdecha. Your servant is a piseach, is lame. I'm not able to go by myself. Now, the question is, so could he maybe have gotten someone else? He could have borrowed another donkey or something from someone else. But certainly, what was I supposed to do? Again, by virtue of the whole question, to ask that question shows a lack of sensitivity on David's part, if I could dare say such a thing about David. And so there's actually, as we're going to see, some opinions that say that, you know, David really made a mistake, and he was accepted the lashon hara of Ziba that, you know, this guy just doesn't want to come and visit you, doesn't want to come and greet you. The other hand, you can look at it and say that even if you suspect that there's a chance yes, chance no, it's important to ask the question, perhaps a little more, a nicer way of framing the question, so as to remove any of the doubts from your mind, to have open communication. Pasuk Chavches, V'yiragel ba'avdecha. V'yiragel sounds like he's walking. V'yiragel says, M'sivision is in Rechilus, Lashon Hara. Your servant, as you know, said a lot of terrible things, tale-bearing and Lashon Hara, El Adoni HaMelech. He said it to you. Right? You listened to a bunch of Lashon Hara about me. The Adoni HaMelech, Kamalach HaElokim, V'Asi HaTobi Ne'achal. The truth is, I have no complaints about you, because you, my king, are comparable to an angel. And therefore, you will certainly be able to do whatever you think is just. You'll do whatever you think is best, and I'll certainly accept whatever that is. So, and that's the Mesudas David, when he says Kamal Chalukim, it's Ladas Emes V'Hashaker. You should be able to, you're smart enough to be able to decipher the truth and the lies. You should know between me, I'm sincere, and that other guy who wasn't, who was lying to you, who was honest. I'm being honest. I couldn't do anything about it. I would have come. Not only that, look at me. I mean, I'm a mess, right? Shouldn't that be enough proof?
How did he get to see David now? Ziva didn't saddle the donkey for him now. So how did he get to see David now? Someone else must have saddled the donkey. So someone else could have saddled it then.
But the pasuk says that the pasuk of Vav, ki Vav Yerushalayim. Right?
He crossed the water.
It seems almost out of order.
Yeah, it said he got down from where exactly?
So came down to greet the king. This guy ran away.
He came to greet the king.
Right.
Came down.
Right.
But from where?
He was in Mephibosheth stayed in Yerushalayim. That's a good question. The good point is, so why are you here now? If you're able to somehow get here some way, that's the question.
Whether the king was in Yerushalayim, even if it was in Yerushalayim, and he
then it's easy. Then it's easy.
Well, right. But not still, if he couldn't walk, he wasn't walking to where the king was. So if you had to saddle a donkey, someone else could have saddled it for him.
Well, that was David's question of whether there is sincerity, and that's the reason why we're going to see that. Perhaps we're going to see that in English in a second. But Pasuk above says, "Vayhi kiva Yerushalayim likras hamelach," which is translated over in English, and it happened that when he came to Yerushalayim to greet the king. Now, even though the next psukim we're going to see that he didn't actually cross the Yarden yet, sounds like this is actually a little bit out of chronological order. It's not necessarily the way it happened. But just even though we're kind of in the middle, if you look in the English, on the page 335 on the right, where it says the very top paragraph, why was David reluctant to believe Mephibosheth, especially since it was obvious that he'd been mourning during David's absence? The Abarmel suggests two reasons. One, even if Ziva had stolen the donkey, Mephibosheth could have borrowed an animal from a neighbor or friend and found a way to join David, which is the point that you're making. He got here, however close, maybe it's not as far, so... Yeah.
Right now, a lot of people are joining David, which they were not before.
Right.
Now thousands are joining him, so it would be a lot easier to get to David now than
maybe
before when he was running away.
There's more taxis. And
There's more
caravans.
There's more people who are going to join David physically.
Right. So it's easier. It's easier to hitch a ride, to hitchhike, or whatever it may be. Okay, that could be as well. And
thousands went to the Jordan, and he seemed to indicate that he harbored some hostility towards David by waiting.
Because that makes sense. Because as the pasuk says, "Kiva Yerushalayim." Right now, David is still by the Jordan, so he didn't do that. He waited until five. David, you can come to me.
However it is, he was not in any danger to the leaf. This man was never any danger to the leaf, and the leaf did not treat him properly. It really didn't.
Maybe that's how all of the leaves are treated.
Yeah, but. He needs, but you see, but yeah, maybe then.
Right,
but
you shouldn't have
why
just have
this imperfect people are not treated well.
Why did you say?
Why aren't you that is part of the reason?
Shin'i, he needs Shin'i, he doesn't need the people. It's simple. He Shimi, because Shimi is the is Binyamin. Yerushalayim is just on Yerushalayim is a both prophet property. Of course, but he has no power.
He has no power, but on the other hand, by David showing compassion to a relative, a Ben Shaul, on the other hand, shows, you know, how powerful I am, and how I'm able to forgive my enemies.
Absolutely. But he did not go to Shimei and say, you're the one who yelled at me. How come you yelled at me and now you're coming to me? And he goes to him and to somebody P7, how come you didn't join me?
Right.
He wasn't there to him.
I understand. But do whatever you can. Vase Tobinech, whatever you think is just, that's what you should do to me. And the Pasuk then continues in Pasuk of Tes, Ki lo haya koil beis avi ki'im anshi mabes la'adoni hamelch. Unbelievable words that Mephibosheth says. That if you look at the house of my father, Sha'ol, my grandfather, the truth is, there's nothing that should remain, because they're anshe moves. They really all could be wiped out, right? And I'm part of that family. The Tosha says, Abdecha bo'oichle shulchanecha. And what did you do? Instead of killing me, not only did you not kill me, but you fed me, you took care of me. I was watching over you. You were at my table, and I was overseeing to make sure that you were cared for, that your needs were there constantly. What does it mean?
That's not pride. That's somebody, if you give someone a house, right, and you give him people who serve him, and he is clearly the boss,
right,
of that household, right, he has his honor and his dignity.
Correct.
But when you are at someone's sitting at someone's table, and that person is feeding you,
right,
your dignity is not there. And there's one
it's
more
charity.
Thing.
He's a charity.
And there's one more thing. He is Shaul's grandson, who is
correct,
his father.
Doesn't really talk about him so much.
Yeah, but he has a father.
Right.
Who was David's best friend?
Right.
That was his father.
I think it was his father.
Jonathan was his father.
I think it was his father.
Oh my!
It changes a lot of things.
Right. Does it say so?
When he comes to David,
so
when David collects him,
that sounds right.
Says
sounds
to
right.
him to come to his table.
Yeah.
So although the house of it's true that the house of his grandfather was dead, his father was not.
So. But you still can't take away that David did not have to do any of these things. He could have killed him.
Except for the promise that he made to his father.
Okay, but so if I make a promise, that means that you should
if
no
you
longer be. You, but you can't be for, thankful
you
for
are,
what I'm doing for you. You should still be happy that someone's
that
doing you a favor.
In that relationship, yes.
Why isn't any of this mentioned in the Sefer we're reading now?
It is mentioned in the beginning of the Sefer.
He did promise that he was going to care for all of his descendants and everything. So, yeah.
It's a continuation of something.
But he still has to show his gratitude. Even if you promise you're going to do me something. So that's what he's doing. So he's very happy
he's
and fortunate that he's... has been taken care of up until this point. My yeshli od sadaka blizok od el hamelach. What other charity can you? That's the word sadaka, which is the table thing,
that's
I guess.
Right.
Blizok od el hamelach. That I should continue screaming and crying and begging to the king. There's only so much I can do.
Why
after all, you're giving me so much.
He's riding the horse, his donkey, and bringing food to the king and taking the credit for it.
Tziva made a mistake. He was not correct in that. But v'yomer lo hamelach. So the king responds, and you're not going to like the way David responds, of course. But here it is. Lama to daber od diberecha. So he says, stop talking so much. Why are you continuing to speak? You don't have to speak. I already know how I'm going to respond. Amarti ata b'tziva techalku es asada. The reality is, you and Tziva are going to divide up the field. You're going to split it split it in half, okay? And some explain that when there's a doubt, when there's two parties that we don't know, does it belong to you, does it belong to you, right? The Talmud in Bava Metzia says two people grab onto a talus, and you know, each one says it's theirs. So there's a principle of mamon hamutl b'safek, if you're in doubt of what to do, tichalku, then we divide it in half. You get half, you get half.
Shlomo with the baby.
With the baby.
Right, exactly. Well, not exactly, but exactly. Same idea, right. So divide it in half. And obviously the reason why he was saying that is because who was Tziva compared to Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth should have gotten the whole thing. But David obviously still had this question, he still had this uncertainty whether or not, in fact, this guy was completely sincere. The Yom Mephibosheth, El HaMelech, listen to how Mephibosheth answers, to really puts himself a little bit, much higher than the king. Gamas HaKol Yikach. Well, you want to give me half? Can I tell you something? I don't want any of it. I don't need anything. After Achrei Asher Bo Adoni HaMelech B'Shalom El Beiso, the fact that you're in peace and everything is good by you, to me, that's the most important thing. I don't care about anything else. That's all fine. And if you look in the Radak over here in Pasuk Lamed, we find clearly the mistake that David made is the future generation will be punished for it. It's brought down in the Radak in Pasuk Lamed on page 334. But Ibri Rabbeinu Zal, the Gemara tells us, Kishomer David, when David said, Atavet Tziva Techalku Asasada, that you and Tziva are going to take something in which really only one person should have, a field, and I'm going to split it in half. And even though there may be tension between the two of you, that both of you are going to be having a field, that each one wants the whole field, that's what I'm going to do. Once that happened, Yatsabas Koel, a heavenly voice came out of the Amra, Yerovam V'Rochom. When it came to, in the future, Yerovam ben Nevat, and Rechavam, Yechalku es Hamalchus. Rechavam, who was came from David, and Yerovam, who did not, he was not from Malchus based David, and Yechalku es Hamalchus. That when it comes to the future, there's not going to be one king. They're also going to split. Kikiba lashin hara mepitziva, because you did listen to Tziva, because he said he's rebellious. This guy, Mephibosheth, and the fact is, it's clear that that's the side that you're accepting. You accepted a part of it. Lokimel, that's Dakois Mephibosheth Lefanav. You didn't accept the words of Mephibosheth that he was showing, that he really was showed allegiance to you. You didn't accept his words. You basically said that I don't want to hear you anymore. So the fact that David did this, and he was not listening to Mephibosheth, and he listened to the Lashon Hara, therefore, this is the punishment, as we said again, Mida Keneged Mida, that this is exactly the punishment, because he did not give Mephibosheth the benefit of the doubt. And his response simply was, you know what, this is what you want, you want to give me only this small amount? I'm not motivated by money. This is not what's important to me, and I don't need it. Which could go, as you mentioned, sitting at the table and the tzedakah, everything's handouts, giving me. So, you know what? I don't need your handouts. I'd rather feel like a human being than to have to feel that you're constantly giving and giving. What?
That's what
Rachel is. Right. So that's what I'm saying. So that's, it makes sense that that's his motivation, is to say, you know what? No, I don't need anything. Again, we see that even David, according, if you look in the English, which we'll conclude with on 335, regarding David's treatment of Mephibosheth, Rav and Shmuel, is a Gemara in Shabbos, they differ. According to Rav, David is faulted for not having given Mephibosheth the benefit of the doubt, of being done the kafschus, and David has this problem, which he needs to work on. Certainly that's something which we need to constantly be focused on, to try to, as hard as it is, especially when, you know, my honor has been slighted, Mephibosheth didn't come, or someone didn't come to my simcha, or someone walked by and they ignored me and didn't say hello. Well, maybe they were just preoccupied. Maybe they had a Bluetooth, they were talking to someone, didn't even realize it, you know? Don't have to always assume the worst. You don't always assume that everyone's out to get you, and you don't always assume that everyone hates you. It's not true. They have to be done the kafsus. And David had this fault. He made this mistake, so certainly we have to constantly think about that as well. And David clearly made the mistake, according to one opinion, of speaking and accepting and listening to Lashon Hara. And David, on that Madrega, we can see the negative outcome and the pain that can cause from someone who is Makabel Lashon Hara, so much so we have to be cautious to make sure that we don't do so, we don't speak it, we don't listen to it, and hopefully by doing so, we'll only say good words, and then only good things will come from it. Stop here.